We want to remember to pray for Mike and Marcia's daughter, Shannon. And they are in Fort Myers now, helping her. She going through some stuff. Let's pray for her complete healing and strengthening of her body. Heavenly Father, thank you for reaching across the miles. And thank you for touching Shannon right now from the top of her head and to the sole of her feet. We claim her complete healing and the strengthening of her body. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We are journeying in the book of Jeremiah and talking about how we are called to live our lives. And as Pastor Don has shared that we should live as exiles. And so we ask, what does that mean? The way of the exile is one in which we live in this world, but we are not part of this world. And that's what it is. The lifestyle of an exile is depicted by love, serving, praying, and seek God for, or seek the good of those around us, and not adopting to the ways of the world. Or in this particular case, in the book of Jeremiah, not adopting or believing in the gods of Babylon. All of us are exiles. And the reason I say that is because we have walked away from the old lifestyle, and now we are walking in a new way because we give our lives to Jesus Christ. He made us new creatures, and the old has gone, the new has come. And that's what we are about when we talk about being an exile. Now, John puts it this way in John chapter 17 and the words of Jesus. And first of all, he prayed for himself. And so if we happen to just read that passage today in John chapter 17, he also prays for his disciples, that God would watch over them. And let me just pick up a couple verses in John 17 verse 13 when he says he prays for his disciples, keeping in mind that we are called, we are part of this world, but we are not living like the world. I am coming to you now, but I say these things while I'm still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is that you take them out of this world, not take them out of this world, but that you protect them from all the evil that there is. His disciples. But I want you to also note that Christ prays for us at that time. And you know, that's amazing that we didn't even know that our name would be called or those whatever. But look at verse 20 and 24. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through the message, that all of them may be one. Father, just as you are in the world and I am in you, may they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. We'll stop there. You will continue to read that. But he prayed for us. The whole idea is that we are to live a life as exile or as new creatures in Jesus Christ. Before we go any further, I want you to keep in mind that Jeremiah was one of the major prophets. Not only that, but Jeremiah was known as a weeping prophet. He cried a lot. And understandably so, his heart was broken for the children of Israel. His heart was just melting away because of the burden he carried for them. And he cried probably day and night. And I'm sure that there are many times in your life when your heart was broken and you cried for your loved one, for your friend, someone that needs Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their personal Savior. And so he cried and he weep, and their lifestyle was they have forsaken the way of God and they have gone back to idol worship, even reveling in sin of every kind. And so Jeremiah started and he prayed. Most of you know that cricket was one of my favorite sport, and I enjoy playing that game, and did a lot of when I was in college. But one of my special moment, as I mentioned before, is one of the best matches that I have been in, is that when I made 100 runs or a century, not out. Now, I did not do that all by myself, but I needed, or I had the help from my fellow cricketers or teammates. And life is so much like that. We usually win or lose not because of the performance of one individual, but because of everyone who was there giving support. And as weird as that may sound, that to make God is making a deal with Jeremiah. And first of all, Jeremiah was challenged by God. He was challenged by God. Are you facing a challenge today in your life? Whatever that may be. It could be at work. It could be in the playing field. It could be within your family. But are you faced with a challenge today? And maybe you are in doubt as to what you should do. But let me challenge you that because you are an exile and you believe in Jesus Christ and you have turned away from the old life and you have Christ within your hearts and lives, you are able to take on that challenge, whatever it is, because you have God on your side. So here is the challenge that God put forth to Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 1. Go up and down the streets of Jerusalem. Run around and consider. Search through her squares. If you can find but one person who deals honestly and seeks the truth, I will forgive the city. That was a challenge. And can you imagine that Jeremiah, knowing all that was going on with the children of Israel and all the sin on every corner, that this challenge is put forth before him. As Pastor Don has said for the last couple of weeks, God's people were in a bad situation. That true worship of God seems to be at an all-time low. God's people worship whatever they can find as gods. In Jeremiah chapter 2, God tells us that he has been a husband to his people, and they continually acted as an unfaithful wife. But Jeremiah is going to take up this challenge. So secondly, Jeremiah took up the challenge. Because Jeremiah knew in his heart was heavy, his heart is broken because of everything that was taking place. And this isn't the first time that God declares that he would act on behalf of his people because of their faith or the performance of a few in the case of this situation, even as one man. In Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, it says, I look for a man among them who will build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so I could not destroy it, but I found none. In Genesis chapter 18 and verse 26 to 32, and this is just a summary or a gist of what this is all about. We are told that God was willing to save the cities of Gomorrah, Sodom and Gomorrah, if Abraham was able to find 10 righteous people. Maybe this idea of one isn't a crazy idea. We actually do this all the time. We do it, or we hear it in the area of politics, which says, I am the only one who can fix this problem. I'm the only one who can defeat the other side and take care of things. And we do the same for happiness. If I had a better job, maybe if I live in a better house or be in a better neighborhood, maybe if I have more money, that I will be happy. But I wonder if what we are looking for, whether it be in person, a house, or whatever it is, will that be a trusting and a good choice for you? Will they, or even it, really provide that you are looking for in life? But Jeremiah, he took up the challenge, and he was going to do exactly what God asked him to do. And you know, folks, when we take up our challenge, whatever that challenge is, and sometimes things may not turn out the way that we anticipated. So do we give up? Do we stop? So here is Jeremiah was disappointed. He started out with the poor and the uneducated. And he says, I can find a good man in all of Jerusalem, that everything will be okay. And so Jeremiah sets out on his journey and starts with the poor and the uneducated in Jerusalem. And maybe he thought that because of the situation of the poor and the needy, that someone would be humble enough because of their position in life. And sometimes because of the afflictions that they go through, so that sure enough he would find someone there. But let's see what happens in Jeremiah 5:2. Though they say, as the Lord lives, yet they swear falsely. Sure enough, they can speak their religious language, but their lives are full of deceit. How many people that we know today, they speak the right words, they do the right thing, they tell you what you want to hear, and it all sounds good. And folks, this is a religious trap that we can all fall into. Say the right things, practice the right ceremony, and things are going to be okay with God. In Jeremiah 5 and verse 3, it says, do not your eyes look for truth. You have struck them down, but they felt no anguish. You have consumed them, but they refused to take correction. They made their faces harder than rock. They have refused to repent. And so he went, he started there, but that did not look good the way he wanted. So now he goes to the educated. In Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse 4, then said, these are truly the poor. They have no sense, for they do not know the way of the Lord, the justice of their God. So now Jeremiah is moving much into the educated, thinking that sure enough, that he will find somebody in this group who will stand in the gap. And so he went, and there must be one guy, he probably said, or we say, who went to Awana or maybe attended Sunday school or something, that they know the word of God and they would respond. But Jeremiah was disappointed that that didn't happen. But you know what? He did not give up. He did not give up. So oftentimes, as Christians, as believers, we give up so easily. We allow the enemy to bring all this negativity in us and create all the doubts that we want to give up. But my prayer and trust is that we would hang in there, dig our heels in, and tell the evil one that you are not going to have me today. This is not your day. And be faithful and honor God. So he says to Jeremiah, I will go to the great and will speak to them, for they know the way of the Lord, the justice of their God. But they all alike had broken the yoke. They had burst the bands. They did not work out as well. And here is what God says about the leaders in Jeremiah 5, 7, and 8. How can I pardon you? Your children have forsaken me and sworn by those who are no gods. When I fed them to the full, they committed adultery and trooped over the houses of whores. They were well fed, lusty stallions, each gnawing for his neighbor's wife. It was a terrible situation, folks. You could just imagine what was taking place. And there is no difference from the rich and the poor. How about those who even preach the word? In Jeremiah 5, 12 and 13, they have forsaken, or they have spoken falsely of the Lord and have said, he will do nothing. No disaster will come upon us, nor shall we see sword or famine. The prophets will become wind. The word is not in them. Thus shall it be done to them. Those who have the responsibility of teaching God's word are called windbags. Disaster is all around them. These guys are preaching the health and wealth and prosperity gospel when God's people were in desperate need of repentance and could experience the true prosperity of God. But not only did they neglect the spiritual needs of God's people, but every other need that God called them to care about. In Jeremiah 5:28, they have grown fat and sleek. They know no bonds in deeds of evil. They judge not with justice the cause of the fatherless to make it prosper. And they do not defend the rights of the needy. God says there was a problem when Jerusalem leaders were well fed and the poor orphans were neglected. Jeremiah 5 verse 30 and 31, an appalling and terrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely and the priests rule at their direction. My love to have it so, but what will it do when the end comes? Jeremiah did not find a good man. Jeremiah met with the rich and the poor, the common and the great, lay people, prophet, priest, you name them, he met with every single one. And all of them failed the test. apparently a good man is hard to find. In spite of all this, God would have spared them if Jeremiah could find one man who did the right thing. I believe that if Jeremiah could have traveled beyond Jerusalem and could have even searched through all of history just to discover that truly a good man is hard to find. In Romans 3 and verse 10 and 12, it said, "None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks for God. All have sinned. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. And no one does good, not even one." A good man is hard to find, but it is not impossible. And so what do we have? We have a good man. He's not only a good man, but he is a God man. And his name is Jesus, God's one and only Son, who gave to us to be the Savior of the world. He came not only the Savior of the world, but to be our Savior. He broke the powers of sin and death. He gave his life so that we can have life and have it more abundantly. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, this is what Jesus himself said. "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight to the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Jeremiah could not find a good man, but Jesus Christ came, and he is the good man. He came so that he can take care of the problem, the sin problem of the world. And the challenge for us today is that Jesus Christ is available to all of us. And all we have to do is to go to him. "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden," he says, "and I will give you rest. Come unto me, and I will make you an exile. Come unto me, and I will help you leave the past behind and move on to what is before you, the newness of life." Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you because of who you are. We thank you because of your love towards us, that you gave us your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, who paid the price for our sin. And although Jeremiah could not find a man who did right, we know of someone, a man who came and did all that was right in the sight of his Heavenly Father, and paving the path for us so that we can also stand up above the crowd, stand where our light shine, because we have been changed. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.